All right, there has been a lot of questions as far as what is going on in the fall and what is happening and are we doing this, are we doing that, and what in the world is Challenge 3.5? Do I have to be there? What is this? What is that? And it's interesting because people haven't been coming to me and asking. They've been going to my wife, and she's getting really tired of it. No, I'm just teasing. But I thought, you know what? It's time. And I think today is a perfect day because it seems like God just flipped the switch from summer to fall this morning. And but I do want to clear up some things as far as where we're going, what we're doing, what is our focus. And we have some people that are newer that may not know exactly what we are about here at New Hope Christian Center. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to refresh people's minds and let people know who are newer what we're about here at New Hope Christian Center. Answer some questions as far as what's going on in the fall and what's going to be coming up in January in the new quarter. So let's just start with this. Our mission here at New Hope Christian Center, it's not long. It's not hard to remember. It's very easy. Our mission here is to make disciples. That's it. Why do we do it? Because it's the last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he died. I want you to do this. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, therefore, go and make disciples. Not go and make converts. Not go and make good people. But go and make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's where usually people stop. They don't read the next part of that sentence. And the next part of that sentence is very important. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus Christ is a learned lifestyle. We have to learn it. We have to be taught it. Why? Because I don't know about you, but Jim in the flesh doesn't follow Jesus or his ways. I know that's very hard for some of you to believe, but he doesn't. And that part of teaching them to obey is what is called sanctification. Justification happens the moment you declare that Jesus is your Lord and you accept the penalty that he paid for you. That is justification. That is a one-time thing. Sanctification is a daily process of walking out, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's a daily process. It is a daily walk. The phrase make disciples in the Greek is mathetuo. That is why we've been doing a mathetuo class for the last year on Wednesday night. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does it look like? How does that work into my life today? Because everything that's in the scriptures has a meaning and is recorded for a reason. And if you read the New Testament, there's a lot of things in there that I don't feel that I live up to. And so I just kind of give up. It's very easy to do. Oh, I'll never be as good as I'm supposed to be or whatever it is. And we just kind of live our lives however, and that's not how Jesus wanted us to live our lives. The word disciple in the Greek is mathetes. And it means to be a learner, a pupil, a student, or an apprentice. So to be a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't mean you just kind of follow him around. It means you can actually translate, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. You can translate that into go and make learners. Go and make pupils. Go and make students. How many students do we have here today? Okay. How much do you just don't want to be a student sometimes? It's just sometimes. Why? Because you have things to learn, right? Hopefully you have things to learn. But actually at this age, they know everything. So I'm just teasing you. But to be a student means you are going and putting aside time to learn what the teacher wants you to learn. According to the scriptures, that's the same thing Jesus is saying. Go make students, go make learners, go make apprentices, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. It is impossible to be a disciple or a follower of someone and not end up like that person. It's impossible. You look at around at the people that call themselves Christians, that, hey, I believe in God or whatever, but don't represent their Heavenly Father very well. That's not a disciple. You see, people, when they see a follower of Jesus Christ, they recognize you as that. People that knew my father and then got to know me said, you're just like your father. If someone says that about you, about your Heavenly Father, that's a compliment, because they should see some aspects in us as believers that represent him well, right? No woohoo, no nothing, no, yeah, whatever, too late. So how do we do that here at New Hope Christian Center? Our process is also very simple. I am a very simple person. I can't remember more than two items on a grocery list. If Belinda gives me three, I will forget probably two of them. My mind just does not do well. I have a list in my phone of notes, and I have notes of things to do today, things to do someday, grocery, sermon notes, all these different things. I have to make a note. My wife gave me three things to grab before we went to the football game yesterday. And I repeated them to her, and I was wrong. But I had written it in my list, in my notes, so I looked them up. I wrote it down right in my notes, but it just got lost from here to here. And there's a big chasm, and it gets bigger and bigger for some reason. Don't understand it. But our process here is simple at New Hope Christian Center. Connect to God, connect to other believers, and then release for service. And you have to connect to God and connect to others before you can be released for service. It took the Son of God 3.5 years to teach the disciples what he wanted them to know and entrust. This is the Son of God. 3.5 years. And hint, challenge 3.5? That's all I'm going to say about it. But we are to connect to God, we are to connect to others, and we are to release for service. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. When God created you, he created you according to the things that he wanted you to do. He gave you certain talents, certain abilities that he did not give me, and he has certain things that he wants you to achieve that he doesn't want me to achieve. We all have certain gifts that he has given us. Pastor Henry's message, if you didn't hear it last week, was awesome. God is not going to ask you to do something that he is not equipping you to do. He's not going to do that. And then sometimes we kind of freak out. It's like, well, if I really follow him and listen to him, he might ask me to be a missionary in places that have big snakes and spiders. I felt that when I first became a Christian. It's like, I can't go all in on this thing because I don't like spiders. And I know God is going to make me go where there are spiders. And it's like, no, he didn't. He may. He may ask you to do something that makes you very, very uncomfortable. In fact, it will happen. because we grow when we step out into the uncomfortable. We do not grow. We become stagnant when we stay in our normal zone. And God sometimes wants us to step out and just allow him to do whatever it is that he wants us to do. So we connect to God, we connect to others, and we release for service. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He has a plan. He has, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, he had a plan for you. He knew how he wanted to shape you and mold you and what kind of a personality to give you. Certain gifts he was going to add to those, making sure that you were equipped on his end to do whatever it is that he created you to do. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't come along with him. It's like, nope, not going down that road. Nope, not going to happen. I have a better idea on how I should live my life than God does. Thank you very much. But he created each and every one of us to do good works in which he prepared in advance for us to do. So here at New Hope Christian Center, you see pillars around here. We have four pillars that we base everything that we do on here. Everything that we do here at New Hope Christian Center has to be a part of one of these pillars. And the pillars are simply brought out in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is what the early church did and focused on. It wasn't focused on making big programs, having as many life groups as you can, and make sure that when you teach on a Sunday that you don't offend anyone. Nope, that was not in the Bible. What was in the Bible, it says that the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is knowing the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, the very thing that God gave us to combat the enemy. It is the only offensive weapon that he gave us. Pretty much all the other ones are defensive. Defensive pieces of armor. But the sword is an offensive weapon. And when Jesus was confronted by Satan in the wilderness, what did he do to fight back? He didn't put him in a headlock. He didn't try to take him out and put him in a submission hold. He did what? He used scripture, the sword of the Spirit. Unfortunately, there's too many Christians out there that don't have time to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit. Because a sword in the hand of a person that does not know how to use it, going up against a person who is an expert, you are going to get your booty kicked. I said booty so that I wouldn't offend anyone today. But it's true. If you don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God, you're going to go through a lot of difficult times and a lot of difficult circumstances that God never wanted you to go through. So they had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. The fellowship was a small group of people that they gathered with together regularly, excuse me, to lift one another up, to encourage one another. They were to be a part of a family, a part of a small community that could do life together. Church was never intended in the scriptures to be a place that you just showed up on a Sunday, punched your get out of hell free ticket, and just went home. That was never the intent, nor is there any model like that in the scriptures. It says that they got together daily, that they encouraged one another. You look around here, we have grandmas and grandpas in Christ. We have aunts and uncles in Christ. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have moms and dads in Christ. And we do life together. Because when things go south and things get difficult in your life, and they will, we can lift one another up. There are times when I go through some difficult times, I have some people that can lift me up. And that is the model that Jesus left for the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Breaking of bread has two meanings in the scriptures. One is that they actually are talking about communion, which is the Passover, what we just did. And the other was simply breaking bread, going into one another's homes and sharing a meal. Back in the Middle East and back in that area, they're sharing a meal with someone meant something. It meant something to bring someone into your home and share a meal. It meant that I accept you as part of our family. And it meant more than it does now, unfortunately. But they were to get together. They were to share meals and break bread together. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer is huge. Sometimes we can do things. We can take action to help someone out. Sometimes we just need to gather together and pray. Pray for circumstances. Pray for situations. There are times when Jill was going through some difficult times, and there's nothing that I could do. But you know what? I could pray. I could pray to the Heavenly Father that He would have His hand on that whole situation. See, we're going to go through difficult times in our lives. Unfortunately, that's when most people take off. They don't want to be around. I don't know if you've ever had an injured dog. Usually injured dogs will run somewhere and they want to be by themselves. They want to be left alone. Unfortunately, as Christians, that's the tendency that we have. When we go through the difficult times, we disappear. And then we figure, like, well, I need to get my stuff back together before I get back into the family. No, that's not how a family works. A family gathers around those who are struggling, those who are hurting, and lifts them up. That's what it means to be part of a fellowship. And prayer is a very important part of that. So last week, Henry, of all the bullet points that he said, I can't name you one of them. He had seven of them. I cannot tell you one that he had. But his message was awesome, and there was one phrase that stuck in my mind that he said, and it was, get ready to move. Get ready to move. Because, and you've heard me say this before, God's gift and talent that He gave you was not to come and sit in a black chair on a Sunday morning. That is not a gift from God. That is not His gift to you. He gave us all things. And when Henry said, get ready to move, I started thinking about this fall, what it is, what's going to happen in January. We are beginning to move. We brought everything back together. We focused through Matthew 2:0 on our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. What's the third part of that? Release for service. And in order to be released for service, there is an action that is involved. We have to get ready to move. Abraham, God said to Abraham, put yourself into his situation. He had his own area that he lived in. He had his family with him. He had all of his stuff with him. And God came to him and said, I want you to pack up all your things and your family and move. Okay, I don't know about you. If I were Abraham, I would say, first of all, where are we going? Wouldn't you want to know? I'm going to take the time. You have all moved. You have all moved, correct? How many people enjoy that? And you know what? That's a sign of true love when you show up to help someone else move. That is true love right there, because there's nobody here or on earth that says, I love helping people move. In fact, I'm glad I don't have a truck anymore. But Connor does. But he goes to Abraham and he says, pack up all your stuff and your family. Let's move. And I'm thinking, I like it just fine right here, thank you. And have you seen all the stuff we have? We're going to have a huge yard sale or lots of camels. And by the way, do I need to pack a coat? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot? Do I need galoshes? What do I need? And who's the local football team there? Because I don't even know if I like them. Like if he asked me to move to San Francisco, I have a hard time. Forty-niner fans. But he told him, pack up your stuff and move. And what did he do? He packed up his stuff and he moved. And you know what God said? I'll be with you. I'll lead you. I will show you where I want you to go. And he packed up all his stuff, all his belongings, all his kids, and he moved. With the Israelites, he brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, and led them into the wilderness and said, don't worry. He didn't tell them where they were going. He just said, Moses, go in there and bring them out. Okay, God, you know I don't talk very good. I don't know if I'm the right guy. I think you should get someone else to do this. And he goes, no, don't worry about it. I'll be with you. And he says, I just want you to bring them out, and I will lead them. And so what did he do? He came down off the mountain, and he did what God said. He trusted. Abraham trusted that God had his best interests at heart. Moses trusted that God had his best interests at heart. And you know what? God had already given them the things that they needed to do what he asked them to do. Just trust me. Just trust me. Get ready to move. And that is going to take action. You know what we've been doing over the last year, year and a half? We've been giving you opportunities to connect to God. We've been giving you opportunities to connect to other people. And now it is time to move. It is time to take that next step, whatever that may be. Because you know what? The reality is we are where we are in our walk with the Lord. But there's the next step that needs to be taken. Sometimes he gives us a season of rest. I have thoroughly enjoyed my summer. Thoroughly enjoyed my summer. I have asthma. We had very little smoke. Loved it. I have a pool. It was warm enough. I was in my pool just about every day. I call it my attitude adjuster. When I get hot, I get cranky. So I have a pool to adjust my attitude. And I've loved it. I love sitting out in front of the fire pit when it's legal, of course, on an evening when it's nice and cool outside and just watching the sun go down. I love that. And you know what I know? I know what's coming. Shoveling snow. It's coming. Unless there are you who are blessed enough to go to Phoenix during the snow shoveling season of Spokane. But you know what? I've enjoyed it. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And now it's time to move. I had to pray, God, give me the gumption for this fall, because you have no idea how much time goes into preparing sermons and preparing a Matthew 2 class and preparing this and getting up an hour early to go to Sunday morning workouts. And I know our music ministry team is going, oh, because they're going to have to get up earlier too. And I had to pray to God, God, give me that drive. Give me that. I need that. Because usually by this time, I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready for the fall. I think this morning I woke up and I'm finally getting there because it was raining. And it's like it's fall. But you know what? I was like, okay, God, give me the want to. Give me the desire. Give me the, I know this is coming and I know this is what we need to do. My challenge to you is, it's time to move. Get ready to move. You may be in a ministry that you've been in for quite some time, and God's like, nope, I am moving you somewhere else. You see, we all are where we are right now. What you need to be focusing on is the next step. What is God going to do? And you know what? You usually aren't going to find out sitting in a black chair. There has to be movement on your part. I'm going to share a story about a young lady, and I won't say her name, but Haley, the other day. If you were here at the youth, the youth camp Sunday, all the kids were getting up and they were sharing and everything, and I talked to Haley after this, and she had told me that she really wanted to be able to pray in front of kids, you know, her peers. But she just had this, and I was the same way. I was talking to her. I said, when I was in high school and in college, I hated talking in front of people. I hated it. I know it's hard to believe, but I hated it. I would get the chest, the sweats, I would never raise my hand in class because I didn't want to say the wrong thing and then have my peers laugh at me. So I was deathly afraid of speaking in front of people. And for some reason, I felt that I needed to take a speech and communications class in college, which meant you were going to get up and speak in front of people. And it's like, I don't want to do this, but I knew for some reason that I was supposed to. And I did. And it was the greatest thing for me to help me get over the anxiety of speaking in front of people. And so the first move that I had to make was to sign up for that class. And I'll tell you what, walking in the door of that class the first day, I was sicker than a dog. I just like, oh, this is going to be horrible. But I knew it's something that I had to do. Why? I had no idea, but now I know why. But I was sitting in the back there, and I saw somebody get up, and then I saw them sit back down, and then I saw her get up again, and I'm looking, and it's the back of her head, and I go, oh my gosh, that's Haley. Because if you don't know Haley, that's not her. That is, and she walked up, and then it was confirmed it was her. When I saw her face, I went, oh my gosh, that's Haley. It took her moving. See, she could have prayed, God, give me the want to. Give me the ability to just speak in front of people and not have that sick feeling in my stomach. Give me the ability because I want to do that. And she could have prayed that and prayed that and prayed that and prayed that and never moved. You see, God usually isn't just going to go, okay, Haley, you're going to want to speak in front of people now. You're going to love it. You're going to crave being in front of people speaking. And I'll take away that sickness in your stomach. Wrong. He was waiting for her to make the first step, and then he met her there. He met her there. See, we're afraid of stepping out because it's uncomfortable. What happens if I do? What is God going to require of me then? What if somebody sees me? What if my friends see me? What if? And we remain seated and we rob blessings from other people. See, she blessed me by doing that. She blessed other people by doing that. If she'd have sat there, I would have been robbed of that blessing. And we had other young people share. Every one of them blessed me. And when we don't take that first step, we are robbing God of the opportunity to be used by Him. And some people say, well, I'm a backstage kind of Christian. Well, that's great, because there are people who are the best servants, the best helpers, have a servant's heart to do whatever it is, and have no desire to teach a class. And that is understandable. But not everybody is called to do that. So my challenge to you is, get ready to move. Whatever that looks like, get ready to move. What is your next step? Maybe you've been doing something for a long time, and God is saying, all right, get ready to move, because I'm moving you over here, because I need some people over here. What is your next step? And don't sit back and ask God, where are we going, God? Where are we going with this? Because I have no desire to teach a life group. I have no desire to work with kids. Don't focus on the down range. Focus on the next step. What's your next step? Your next step, if you've never studied the scriptures, your next step may be God saying to you, get out of bed an hour earlier on Sunday and come to Sunday morning workout. Because it's an interactive Bible study, verse by verse, and you get to hear a lot of different perspectives on what the Word says. And discuss, and what's God saying to you in this? Or how do you interpret this, or whatever? But there's no better way to learn the scriptures than to do that. Or sit in on Brian. Brian is doing a verse by verse of Hebrews. You want to learn the scriptures? I believe it's better to go with a group of people and study it, because you're going to learn more than you will just opening up the book of Hebrews. Unless you have a very good study Bible and you're on blueletterbible.org and you look at all the different translations and you are truly a student, which most people are not. See, if you're just reading one version of the scriptures, you're missing out on a lot. Some Bible translations are much better than others. But maybe your next step is that. Maybe your next step is to begin to connect with other people. You have not been in a life group. You've not, because I guarantee you, you're not going to connect very well with people on a Sunday morning. You can't. It's impossible. But when you start to go to these other things, you begin to develop those relationships with other people. Amen? Maybe God wants you to work with the little buggers. And I use that term with full respect and honor. I love our little buggers. But maybe that's, it's like, well, I don't like kids. Maybe you don't know. Oh, yes, I do. But you know what? We need some help in Team Kids. And I know some perfectly able-bodied people that we could really use your help. Maybe that's your next step. You see, here's the thing. Every single person in this room right now has a next step. Every single one of you has a next step that God has for you. You need to find out what it is and be obedient to make that step. Amen? So, in lieu of leadership training this year, we are going to have just one night, and it is my challenge 3.5. It's not really a class. It's really kind of not like anything we've ever done before. And what my challenge to you is to show up. That's my challenge. I'm not going to give you any more information about that night. We used to have standards and things that people had to do to achieve in order to get into leadership or in order to get into whatever it is, to teach a class or whatever. We don't have that anymore. And the reason that we don't is because I want to see who emerges. I want to see, and I've been watching for the last year, how people interact with other people. I've had people say, I want to teach a group. I want to teach a life group. And I've watched them and witnessed them with people, and they really don't engage with people. That person is not ready to lead a life group. I don't want someone leading a verse-by-verse Bible study that has no idea what they're talking about. So what is your next step? Because the days of just kind of sitting back and receiving the Math 820 discipleship class on Wednesday nights was that. It was me pouring in the scriptures in what God wants to do and what he wants his church to look like. And what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You've been poured into. Now it's time to release for service. And what does that look like? And some of you have a real freaked out look on your face right now. But you know what? It's time. It is time to move. We are going to continue our Math 820 classes on Wednesday nights, but only for the quarter. Only for the quarter, we're going to wrap it up. There's a few things in there that I really want to teach on scriptures, on studying the Bible, what to do, what not to do. But we are going to continue that until December. We do not have any life groups usually during December because everyone is so busy with the kids have this and we have business this and that and parties and Christmas parties. So we usually wrap up the end of November. We are going to kick off our Sunday morning workouts again. Like I said, it is a verse-by-verse study. We're in Psalms, and it is an interactive. It's not just lecture, it's interactive. You want to understand the scriptures a little better? You need to put yourself into certain circumstances where you can learn. Amen? We give you that opportunity. Brian Hansen, like we said, is going to be doing a verse-by-verse study of Hebrews on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock in the Pastor Lee Conference Room. Brian Hansen, if you don't know, he's been with me in my Isaiah classes and Ezekiel classes. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, Jim, you need to teach on the book of Revelation. And I was not ready to teach a book of Revelation. And I believed that you, in order to understand Revelation, you have to first study Ezekiel and Isaiah and Daniel. And Jeremiah, probably a good one to study too. And so I started a few years ago, I started a verse by verse of Ezekiel and Isaiah. And Brian was in each one and got to talking with him and got to connect with him. And he loves studying scripture as much as I do. He has written a book on Revelation. And I thought, okay, you know it better than I do. That's for sure. So the first volume just came out. I got my signed copy by Brian. And if you'd like to order a copy of that, see me. I've taken all the profits. Yeah, I don't get the profits if it goes through Amazon. So, you know, it's on Amazon. And he is a great scriptural teacher. So I appreciate having him available for that. We are going to begin life groups in January. We are going to have a men's ministry, and that is going to be led by Sam Weber. I'm sure Donzi is going to continue with her studies. Thank you very much. I will probably be teaching a verse-by-verse study on the book of Daniel. And we are also starting up a young adults that is going to be tag-teamed by three couples in our class. And I haven't got verbal confirmation from them, so I'm not going to say Brooke. Actually, it's not Brooke. She's still doing the youth. But I'm not going to say who the other ones are because they have not completely committed to it, but I'm pretty sure they're going to because two of them are my daughters. So no pressure there whatsoever. We are going to have a kickoff barbecue Saturday, September 21st from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Great time to invite friends. Especially if they have little kids, they're not involved in belonging to a church, invite them out. We've had a lot of people say, "Well, my friends don't want to come to church because church people are weird," and we are. But we've also had people show up and say, "Wow, that's not what I expected," especially from a pastor. I get that a lot. But you know what? I like us. I really do. And you may have somebody that, and that may be your next step, is a neighbor or a friend of your kids who are kind of floundering and not quite sure. That young man named Cooper at youth that says, "Well, our family, we're not used to this, so I just decided to dip my toe in the water and da 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 da." You know what? There are families out there that will come if you simply invite them. You have coworkers that will show up if you just simply invite them and not let the enemy whisper into your ear, "Well, they're going to think you're weird. Oh, you're one of those." And if they do think that, you don't want anything to do with them anyways. Just pray hot heaping coals on their head. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It really is. No, I'm just teasing. But invite them out. We're going to have a bouncy house, and we're going to have, I don't know if you've ever played that basketball game where you shoot hoops and then the ball comes right back to you, but it's a huge inflatable one. So for the older kids, we'll have that. And if you are interested in grilling or helping or whatever, main dish, signing up, there's a sign up in the foyer. And I just want it to be a fun time of kicking off and just getting together, having a barbecue. Brett and Connie did one a few weeks ago, and there was probably 50, 60 people there. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so we're giving opportunities for people. If you're new, it'd be a great time to come and get to know people. And as people who have been here for quite some time, what I've heard from most people on why they ended up coming and wanting to be a part of New Hope Christian Center is because the people were so friendly. It is our job to reach out to people. It should be our hearts to look around and say, "That person's new. I don't know them." There's so much that can be said for reaching out and just saying, "Hello, welcome." Being noticed. See, a lot of people don't want to be noticed. And if you're one of those people, this is not the place to come. There are some other churches that they're really good at not noticing you. But this is not it. I'm not naming any names. But to me, if the Son of God could only disciple 12 people, what makes a pastor think he can disciple 10,000? Just throwing that out for you to chew on. But you know what? We're family here at New Hope Christian Center. Warts and all, you may not agree with everything that everybody else thinks. We have people here that vote blue, vote red, vote pink, vote purple, vote whatever. And you know what? When it comes to Jesus coming back, most of the things that people fight over don't amount to a hill of beans in eternity. So here at New Hope Christian Center, we want to focus on eternity. We want to focus on the things that really matter in the end. And that is loving God and loving your neighbor. That's it. If we can learn those two things, we're doing what God wants us to do. We're doing what God wants us to do. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. But my challenge to you is show up to challenge 3.5. And my other challenge to you is get ready to move. Get ready to move. What is your next step? And you know what? I don't know your next step. Only God does. So the best way to find out what your next step is to go to him in prayer and ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it's time for us to get up off the black chairs and step out in whatever it is that God has for us in this coming year. Amen. Please stand.